Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's NPL show, the official radio show dedicated to the wonderful league that is the Northern Premier League. And joining me now, down the other end of the phone, is Mr. Wonderful himself from the Northern Premier League, social media officer. It's James Hayes, everyone.
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Oh, good. Filled with the joys of spring, because I'm actually inside for once and not outside in the cold. It's freezing, everyone. I know you know that already. But we've got a packed show coming up this week. We're going to be joined shortly by the management at Bamber Bridge, Baseford, Warrington and FC United. And late in the show, we've not forgotten Whitby Town. Whitby Town are moving, aren't they, James? They're motoring. And we've got Andrew Snaith coming on the show as well, not just to talk about Whitby Town, but also to talk fixtures for this weekend in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. But as I said, it is a bit cold, it's a bit wet, it's a bit wintry. But I'm pleased to report there were some fixtures played last weekend in the league, which is always good to see. And where should we start? Shall we start with the league leaders, South Shields, picking up a point against Buxton. Warren Clark scoring after 7 minutes for Buxton. Nathan Lowe getting the equaliser after 31. And then after that, that's how it finished for the remainder of the hour. So what's your take on that one, James?
Well, the majority of the top five were settled out that day as well. A lot of movement there, particularly for Baseford and the chasing pack. We keep saying there's a title race on. It well and truly is at this moment in time now. So there's no safety buffer anymore. They've got to start picking up the form quickly, otherwise they are going to get swamped down. And, well, we've just seen what's happened recently.
Well, we've got to 29 games played for the top three. Baseford United won their 29th league game of the season, a 2-1 win over Atherton Colls, and a fantastic result that, with Matt Thornhill scoring an equaliser for Baseford United. The winner coming from Nat Watson on 86 minutes, and Baseford United capitalising on those 2 points drops for South Shields by getting the 3 points there against Atherton Colls, meaning the gap now between the top two is just 2 points. South Shields do have a better goal difference at the moment, but it's certainly all very close and all very tense. And to see just how tense it is for the Nottinghamshire side for this title race equation, on Friday I caught up with the manager at Baseford United, here's Steve Chettle. Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us on this week's show. And first things first, a big congratulations for that 2-1 win over Atherton Colls last Saturday. And that sees you just snuggle up behind South Shields. So what's the mood in the dressing room like?
It's good, obviously. South Shields are doing his damn to keep it interesting, shall we say. But it was tough last week against Colliers, to be fair. They came with a game plan and stuck to it really, really well. And I think they'll be slightly disappointed not to go away with a point, but we were delighted to score, you know, with 4 minutes to go to keep ourselves, you know, around the top of the table. So it was a good weekend for us again.
And that was a follow-up to, I mean, it seems ages ago now, but that hard-fought 1-1 draw with FC United. You're digging out those results now, and that must be pleasing as we get to the nitty-gritty of the season.
Yeah, we spoke about it after the game. I spoke about it this week that, you know, we need to keep getting results. That's all we can do. You know, what South Shields do and what Nantwich do and what FC United do, we can't control that. All we can control is, you know, what Baseford United are doing, and we're trying to get as many results as we can away from home and trying to keep win games at home.
Now, I've touched upon the stop-start nature just there, but we should say there is a pitch inspection planned at Winsham Park tomorrow at 9 o'clock. It has been a difficult period to get matches on and that kind of thing, but it must be equally annoying as a manager where you prep for these games and you just can't get the matches on, unfortunately.
No, we lost the one to Nantwich a couple of weekends ago, but obviously we can plan for our home games. You know, we have our 3G pitch where we haven't lost a game at home regarding the weather. I think the only time that we would potentially lose a game is the snow, but we've not had the problem that Buxton had last week where they lost their game during it. So, you know, we're okay with the rain down here, and we've got a few games now which are on 3G. So we should hopefully get a run of games together and hopefully carry on doing what we're doing.
And that then takes us obviously to Monday's match, which hopefully will be on, like you say. I mean, it is a superb pitch there in Nottingham. Baseford United against Nantwich Town. It's a huge game.
Yep.
You know that. I know that. The listener knows that. I mean, what's your mood heading into that one?
Well, obviously, we have a game before that. I know the weather might take cause again with the rain up in the northwest, but we've already done our work for Witten, and obviously we've got Nantwich in the background for Monday. So depending on what the situation is, 9 o'clock in the morning, we know whether we train or we know whether we play, and then we can plan accordingly for Nantwich on the Monday evening.
And like you say about digging out results and that kind of thing, I mean, I'd imagine it's kind of, you've got to be careful, haven't you, that you do take each game as it comes, because the Nantwich one is basically, it's there in lights, it's a Hollywood fixture, in it, essentially. But then you've got the likes of Buxton coming as well. So you've got to be careful, haven't you? And like you say, it's just about digging out the results and not getting too carried away with the occasion.
Well, we're not going to get carried away. We know we've got an awful lot to do to stay where we are. You know, we've got to keep picking results, and we've got, like I say, we can't do anything about other people. But we play Buxton twice in the space of 3 weeks. We play Scarborough, you know, and then when it comes to the beginning of April and middle of April, we've got a tough set of fixtures as well with Lancaster and South Shields back to back.
And I know what you're going to say about one game at a time and all that, but I've been, because I'm an FC United fan, as many listeners will know, I've been earmarking that game mid-March against South Shields as being really, really important. But, you know, the last game of the season is pretty big, isn't it, for yourselves?
Well, our last home game, South Shields at home, yeah, that's what I mean. Then, you know, our last fixtures away at Whitby. So I can't see that far forward, Ben, where I can predict what's going to go on, but it's going to be interesting, shall we say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it must be. It's step three non-league football, isn't it? But it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, what's it like being part of it all?
Well, it's great being in a, you know, in a set of fixtures and in a league where it's really competitive, and there's four or five teams now who are all fancying the chances of going up. You know, you look at the big leagues in the world, you look at the Premier League especially, you know, that's all over, and people are now looking at other leagues, say, oh, what can I pay interest in? And I think the NPL is one of the most interesting ones that's around at the minute.
And finally, Steve, obviously, fingers crossed for Witten Albion tomorrow, but when it comes to Monday's match, what's your message to that base of faithful? Because they're going to be really important over the coming weeks and months.
They are, yeah, they are. They've been great with us. Like I say, we keep doing our damnedest to keep it interesting, and Monday's not going to be any different. You know, we look forward to the game with Nantwich, and as many people get down to the Greenwich Avenue, we'll be delighted to see them all.
Steve Chettle there, manager of Basford United, joining us here on the NPL show. So, there we go. Top two. 2 points. Boom. Title race. Good, eh?
We'll need to look at the rest of it at the moment.
All right, let's get to the rest of it then. All right, okay. Okay, we have to cover it. All right, let's do this then. Saturday an opportunity. What are you laughing at? It was an opportunity for FC United to also close the gap on the top two. However, it was a tough assignment. They were travelling to Bamber Bridge. Obviously, Neil Reynolds returning to the Tom Finney Stadium. Some ex-Bamber Bridge players also in the FC United lineup. That said, Bamber Bridge were phenomenal. They really were. A 3-0 win over FC United. Superb stuff. FC United's first defeat in the league since mid-October. A fantastic performance. Particularly as well, I was obviously there. Richie Allen was superb, as was Alistair Wadicow when he was on the pitch. And I think the man of the match went to Sheldon Green as well. But there were so many good performances throughout the team. And for more now on that win for Bamber Bridge and where that sets the Lancashire side up for the running on Friday, I caught up with the manager. Here's Jamie Milligan. Well, Jamie, a big thank you for joining us. And first and foremost, a big congratulations for that storming 3-0 victory over FC United last weekend. I mean, how was the afternoon for you?
It was good, to be fair. All I wanted off the boys, though, was a reaction, because we got the weekend before we played Scarborough and got thumped, to be fair. They were miles better team than us. So, regardless of who we were playing, FC United, I just asked for a reaction from the boys, and I knew I would get it off them, because they're a good, honest set of lads. And since I've took over, they've been that every training session and every game, bar the Scarborough game, they've been brilliant. So I knew they'd react.
Now, the last time we spoke, I said to you, I wasn't actually tongue in cheek. I genuinely mean it, because I look at league tables and that kind of thing, and work out, you know, where people can go from there and that side of things. And I was saying, oh, you're closer to the playoffs than you are to the relegation places. And you're a lot closer to the playoff spots now than the relegation places. So it's been a good period since we last spoke.
Yeah, definitely. We did say that. We did. So I think we played Nantwich and we conceded to lose. We got beat 3-2 in the last minute. That was a bit of a sucker punch there. The draw would have been a good result. And then if we could have got a result at Scarborough, obviously we would have given ourselves half a chance. I'm not saying it's impossible, because I remember Blackpool going 10 unbeaten and getting in the playoffs. It can happen. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But listen, we're just going to finish as high as we can this season. And we've got Lancashire Cup semi-final next week to look forward to. And kick on from there, really.
And you mentioned the reaction you wanted from the Scarborough result. I mean, what does the two games tell you about Bamber Bridge? Because you know what, the Bamber Bridge I saw against SC United, the likes of Richie Allen and Wadikar and the like. I mean, it's a quality side you've got there.
Yeah, it is. We're a young side as well. Do you know what I mean? We've got a lot of young lads there. We've got a few experienced ones in there, and they've got energy and they run around and they listen and they want to learn. And you've had the loan signings that I've brought in from the different clubs have been brilliant for them. They've been a breath of fresh air. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it, and the boys are as well.
And when it comes to the future and the upcoming matches that are taking place this weekend, obviously it's been chucking it down and that side of things. So I'd imagine Morpeth Town are going to be giving you some news before you set off, because obviously it's a long way to go. But Morpeth Town against Bamber Bridge, this is a pretty important game. It follows on from Scarborough and FC for you.
Yeah, definitely. We want it to be on because obviously the lads will be confident going on the back of a 3-0 win against a good FC United team. So 100% we're dying for the game to be on. And they're a good team. They've played less games than quite a lot of teams. So they'll be looking to win all their games and get round the playoffs. So it'll be a good game. So I think both teams want it on, really.
And it seems ridiculous that it's actually, on paper, it's a mid-table game, but you've both got lots to play for.
Yeah, definitely. You look at the table and it looks like that, doesn't it? But both teams are not far off the playoffs. Obviously, they've got a better chance than us, having played less games than us. But it should be a good game. I've spoke to a few people about them and they're not a bad team. So we're going to need to be on it to get a result.
And then next Saturday, you don't need me to tell you this. This is just for the listeners' benefit. South Shields at home. So the hits just keep on coming. I mean, this is what it's about, isn't it? Managing the team at step three, I suppose.
I said that in training last night. I said, we've got three massive games coming up. And the lads, to be fair to them, they all want to play in it. And when I've had to leave lads out, that was when I took the job and knew it would be the hardest part, because I've played with a lot of them lads and a lot of them are mates as well. So I knew that would be hard. But not one of them have let me down with it. They've never moped about. They've come in, they've encouraged everyone, even when they've been left out. And they're going to want to play in these big games. So with the semi-final coming up, Morpeth tomorrow, South Shields in a week's time, all the lads are itching to go and play. And I know their manager, Fenners. I've played with them at Blackpool. Still speak to him now and again. So they're up there for a reason. They're a quality team. And it'll be a good game, a good test for us.
Jamie Milligan there, manager of Bamber Bridge, joining us here on the MPL show. Right, let's talk about SC United, though. That was obviously drop points there. At the same time, wasn't too bad, because only Basford United got 3 points. South Shields obviously drew. Lancaster City was taking on Nantwich Town. Those two drew 0-0 on Saturday. So SC United didn't lose too much ground following that defeat to Bamber Bridge. And that paid dividends on Tuesday night, where there was another big game. Nantwich Town hosting FC United. And I have to say, I was there, and it was, even though it was only 1-0 to SC United, it was such a great game of football. It was both teams had a half each, I'm going to suggest. And in the end, FC United were the victors in it. So FC United leapfrogging over Lancaster City into third place. They're 4 points behind South Shields, 2 points behind Basford United. And for more now on the Manchester club, on Friday, I caught up with their manager. Here's Neil Reynolds.
Yeah, Ben, I mean, Tuesday was, you know, it was a good game of football for the neutral. For us, it was really important that we bounced back. We let ourselves down last Saturday against Bamber Bridge, and, you know, the players knew that. And, you know, we're sorry to all the fans, etc., for that, you know, for the performance. But, you know, we don't come a bad side overnight. And I said that to the lads, and we worked on one or two things. We tweaked one or two things. And, you know, we came up against a really good Nantwich side, who had, I think, won 7 and drawn 1 out of the last 8 games. So we knew, you know, and dispatched the South Shields 4-1 away from home. So we knew that we'd have to be really on our best. And I thought we were. We went there a little bit more defensive-minded. We scored at a good time before half-time and then nullified them to maybe a couple of long-range shots in the second half. So, you know, to go there and win, you know, we were going there for a point, but to go there and win is incredible and, you know, just shows a real character and mental strength for my lads.
Now, when it comes to that performance on Tuesday night versus the performance against Bamber Bridge, I mean, there has been a little mini blip that FC United have been on in the League Cup, and you call it a blip, you were still picking up points and that kind of thing. But that performance on Tuesday night, there was a bit more determination. Do you think you're over that blip now?
I mean, it's hard football because, you know, we we were desperate to get to the second round of the trophy. We were desperate to play the best side in there. And we drew Barrow, and you know they certainly were the best side in there, and gave us a football lesson. Let's say it might have been different if Tundy slots a chance away, and he, you know, at 0-0, might have been different if Doyle doesn't get sent off. But they gave us a football lesson, and what it did to the lads is that they were on such a high. I think then they realised that they were a bit inferior, and it's difficult because you're trying to build them back up, and you're trying to get them to have that confidence that we had the week before we went into the Barrow game, and it just wasn't there. You know, it hit them really hard, and we had a really good team discussion, and we got it out of the table. But even the discussion doesn't generate that confidence straight away. So we have, you know, you look at the blip and you look at the draws that we made, or, you know, just scraping through against Stafford and Whitby. In the Manchester Cup, we just scraped by, and then we drew with Michelover, drew with Buxton. But then we came out of it, you know, and then at Bamba Bridge, you know, everything just went wrong. You know, credit to Bamba Bridge. They have, you know, the probably team talk was easier than mine. There was lots of external factors surrounding the game. And for me, you know, my lads, they've got no affiliation to Bamber Bridge, really. You know, some from Liverpool, some from Manchester. So Bamber Bridge didn't. It was just another game, and Bamber Bridge just hit us cold. The tenacity, their energy, the work, the work effort was better than my side. And you've got to credit the team, and they took the goals well. So, you know, but we're like, you know, we had choice words, but we don't become a bad side overnight. And, you know, reading Jamie Milligan in the paper today, he talks about they want consistency, and the reason why FC United and South Shields, etc., at the top of the league, is we've had consistency. So, you know, we suffered a setback, but we bounced back in spectacular fashion on Tuesday night against Nantwich.
I mean, that takes us to this weekend's match, FC United hosting Warrington Town, you know, just after the Nantwich game. I mean, this is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, the fixture that people will look at in the league and identify that one of the top teams is going to drop points, and we're hoping it's not us. We know all about Warrington. You know, we've played them twice in the Cup and also, you know, in the league. And, you know, they knocked out the FA Cup and we took the points off them at their place. But, you know, he's got a good side, this Paul Carden. He's got a certain way of playing. He's got some big boys in his side. Although he's lost Garrity to Blackpool, he's still got real quality. And people talk about them being on a bit of a blip. Well, I've looked at the last results, 6-7 games, and they're not losing many. We've lost 6, they've lost 5. I think they've drawn 11 and they've won 12 and we've won 13 and maybe drawn 6. So, you know, there's not a great deal in it. So it's going to be a really tough ask, and they're going to target, you know, the points tomorrow. They have to do because they're desperate to make ground on us. They're desperate to get in the playoffs. But all of a sudden, you know, we're looking above us now. We're only 4 points behind Shields and Batesford, and we're all on the same game. So, you know, for us, we don't want to drop any points tomorrow. We want to keep the pressure on South Shields. We've got to go to Gainsborough. I know Batesford have got to play Nantwich Monday night. So, it's one of them leagues, old Ben. You know, it's a really, really good league. It's a long time since I've enjoyed a league campaign as much as this. It's got real quality in the league. And, you know, you look at the top 12, 14 sides and you just don't surprise when teams take points off each other because they've got real strength in depth. And that's the beautiful thing about this league this season. It's really strong and it's competitive and you've got to work to get your results.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to whether it's a promotion race or a title race, indeed, for FC United. I mean, you're going to say take each game as it comes, aren't you?
Yeah, no.
I mean, where are you looking at? Is the title beyond you, or are you still...
Listen, I haven't been in this, Ben. Let's be realistic. You know, we talk about our playing budget and everyone knows it and the difficulties surrounding the finances that we've had to overcome at FC United. We haven't got a big budget. So at the start of the season, we talked about top 10, 1.5 points per game. Can we get a bit of a run in the Cup? Can we maybe get a bit of silverware in the Manchester Cup or the League Cup? And that was our target. And after the first three games, you know, that target looked quite a long way away because we were, you know, we lost our first three. But then we went on an incredible run, you know, of 4 months without a league defeat in the league and picking up points in December was great. Won 6 out of 6. And all of a sudden, we catapulted ourselves in the top end of the table. And now, you know, yeah, it's easy for me to say that I want a top 10 finish at 1.5 points per game. But, you know, let's be serious. We're third in the league. We're 4 points off top and we're 13 games to go. So we've got to go for it. You know, we've got to go for it. Yeah, like you said, take every game as it comes. But, you know, anyone in our position now, could be anybody in the league. You know, South Shields are saying the same thing. Batesford, Lancaster will say it. Warrington will be saying it. We've got to go for it. If we end up in the playoffs, then it's been a magnificent season. If we ended up winning the league, it would be an unthinkable season. And if we missed out on the playoffs, then, you know, we miss out on the playoffs and it is what it is. But, you know, we said at the start of the season we had a target and the target was agreed by the fans and the board and we all stuck to that. We've got a, you know, big final coming up in the Manchester Cup against Trafford and, you know, we're sitting well in the league, but We know that there's a lot of twists and turns to go yet. But for us, we are content with how the season's going. And we just want to make it, you know, as special as we can do, because the club deserves that. It's a spectacular club and, you know, it deserves success. And after last season's debacle, for me, you know, my promise to the fans and the club was to get smiles back on people's faces and get them enjoying football games again. And for the majority of the season, I think we can safely say we've enjoyed the ride so far. And who knows? You know, who knows? Can we enjoy it even further? But, you know, we've got to overcome a lot of difficult obstacles yet, starting with Warrington tomorrow and South Shields away and et cetera. So, if we're going to do it, we're going to have to work really, really hard. But it's still on.
Neil Reynolds there, manager of FC United, joining us here on the NPL show. So FC United up to third, James. That's because, we'll come to it in a second, Lancaster City were beaten 3-1 at home to Whitby Town. But FC up to third.
Yeah, again, you take your points against your title rivals at this moment in time in Nantwich. I think FC United have got a bit of a tough fixture list coming up, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Warrington
this weekend. They've also got Mickleover away and South Shields away, obviously, coming up.
So, yeah, but with that one coming up as well, so it's vital to get the points on the board. If, again, the likes of Warrington, South Shields, they're the points that are going to matter the most at this moment. Come the end of April, as they can see themselves 6-7 clear, they've got a chance in the playoffs this time round, again, just to settle nerves. And the OFC don't tend to like the playoffs that often. It could be a big threat of them this year. If you don't go for promotion already.
Let's cross that bridge. I mean, it's by no means a foregone conclusion. The current top five, there's a few teams chomping at the bit just outside the playoffs. One of them is obviously Warrington Town. Warrington Town currently sitting sixth. They're a point now behind Nantwich Town. Their match on Tuesday night, incidentally, was abandoned due to, well, a blizzard and snow in Buxton. So I think Warrington were 1-0 up in that game. Bit of a shame, really, because Warrington picked up a bit of momentum following Saturday's win at home to Scarborough Athletic. A big result in itself, because Scarborough are also in this playoff hunt as well. So a good 3 points there for Warrington on Saturday. 1 point outside the playoffs. Let's judge the mood in the camp now with the manager at Warrington Town. Here's Paul Carden. So, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. Before we get to the blustery conditions from Tuesday night, a big congratulations for that superb victory on Saturday against Scarborough. That's an outstanding result there, considering how good Scarborough have been recently. How was your afternoon?
It was a tough game, like you say. They've been flying, Scarborough. Dad's just gone in and he's got good players playing well. He's brought a few players in to strengthen them and, you know, I wasn't under, you know, any illusions that would be the case with them going in there. You know, they're a big club and they had some good players. And like I say, he's added to them. So it was a tough game. And at times we were hanging on, especially when we were in the wind in the second half. They were loading the box. And, you know, we had a young goalkeeper in from Wigan, young Bobby. And he was outstanding. But thankfully, we got the game put to bed with a late second to just kill it off. So it was a great result and wasn't the prettiest of games with the conditions. But having said that, it's about points on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And that follows on followed on the result as well against Grantham Town, which admittedly was a draw. But, you know, your boys dug deep to get that point. So, I mean, that must be pleasing the way that you are digging out these results.
Yeah, I mean, Grantham was a disappointing performance. First half, second half was the total opposite. So we probably should have went on to win the game, even being 3-1 down at half time. But, you know, to bounce back shows resilience and hopefully, you know, those two results start a good run now.
And that run looked like it was continuing, if I'm being honest. On Tuesday night, I was following the game from afar. You were 1-0 up and then, well, snow, lots of snow. It's just one of them things, unfortunately, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is one of those things. I've said it in other, you know, in other interviews, that the one thing you can't control is the weather. Should there have been a little bit more thought about how it gets at Buxton when it snows? And with, I think it was 95% chance of snow. So when that happens, I think there should be a little bit more consideration. But you know, if you do sort of make a decision before anything happens, and then nothing happens, then it looks worse. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But, you know, it was disappointing because I felt we were on top in the game. We should have had a second. But it is what it is. You've just got to get on with it and deal with it, and that's what we've done.
I mean, it, from the pictures I saw, it did look like you were playing in the Finnish Premier League or the Icelandic Premier League. It was pretty dramatic, let's say. And that then takes us to this weekend, because obviously, you know, on paper you got this big game this weekend against FC. But the weather again, it's just playing havoc, isn't it? I mean, how difficult is it for as a manager? You know, you've got this promotion race on, you're trying to prepare for each game as it comes and all that, but you know, the weather's just intervening, and it's must be a nightmare.
It is, yeah, and to be honest, I can see there being a load off tomorrow, just purely and simply because of what's forecast tonight and what's happened today. It is hard, it's difficult. I think we have to just do what we can around the weather. I think the important thing is, though, is to get your fixtures in when you can. Obviously, when you've had to postpone games, is to get them rescheduled when you can. Tomorrow, who knows what the overnight rain will bring and will do to the pitch. You know, usually it's good, but, you know, FC had a game called off a couple of weeks ago. A home to Adderton Coles for a waterlogged pitch in similar situations. So, you know, we just have to wait and see. But we've prepared like we always do, as though we're having a game. We've trained last night, and yeah, we just go with it until we're told otherwise, really.
Obviously, that takes us to Tuesday night, and you are playing Ashton United, and it's like, you know, you've got. I was speaking to Steve Chettle earlier. You've got these Hollywood fixtures in lights, like, you know, FC United away, big league game, and then you've got to get this Ashton United game played as well. So it's about making sure your squad don't take their eye off the ball.
No, well, this is it. I mean, listen, every game is as important as the next one. You know, all right, there might be, you know, closer fixtures in terms of your league position, but every game's as important as the next, like I said, and, you know, for different reasons for both teams. You know, Ashton have been on a good run themselves, and they'll be looking to get away from the bottom of the league as soon as they can. They're another side who had a strong squad in the summer with Jody. It never happened. Obviously, they've changed the manager. They've brought Clegg in, who's brought a few players in himself, and that seems to have kick-started them. So, you know, I say it all the time, and everyone says it, you know, there's no easy games. You've got to turn up and you've got to perform. And if you do that, you'll give yourself a chance. But if you don't, you know, everybody's got something to play for. And I think, you know, I was looking at the table from last season. After 30 games, the top two sides was ourselves and Farsley, and we both had 65 points. Mm. And Shields were in third place with 62, I think they had. So obviously Shields are top this season, and they have to win the 30th to get 60. So that'll tell you the level of points has dropped. So it's what either one or two things. Either the league's not what it was in terms of consistency, or it's more competitive. So, you know, either way, if a team can put a set of results together, they can soon climb, as Whitby have shown, as Scarborough have shown. You know, you put a few results together and you can soon climb, and you've just got to keep going. You've got to keep trying to find a way to win games. And, you know, that's what will be the plan between now and the end of the season. We've still got, there's still a quarter of the season left. You know, and as close it is towards the final day of the season, you've still got a lot of games to play and a lot of points to play for, and everybody will be thinking the same. So, you know, nothing's cut and dried. The league's very tight at the top. There's teams who've played a few games more, and obviously teams with games in hand. So I think it's going to go right down to the wire, which probably hasn't been as open as this in a long time, I feel.
Paul Carden there, manager of Warrington Town. Warrington in sixth. In seventh, James, Whitby. Yep. 2-0 win at Matlock. They beat Lancaster City, as we said earlier, on Tuesday night. Away, Whitby, 2 points outside the playoffs with games in hand. I know Chris Hardy was downplaying it on last week's show, but they can't keep downplaying it anymore. They're in the playoff race, aren't they?
Yeah, indeed. So they are the dark horses running on the right-hand side at this moment, catching everybody up. If they can keep Paul Blackett up there at the moment, who I've got down to do well in the Player of the Year awards at this moment in time too, especially over these last couple of weeks, it's unstoppable. The fixture list they've got is down to them to make sure they can get into that playoff race. They've got the likes of South Shields, Stalybridge, Lancaster City. Let's not rule them two out just yet either. I know Lancaster have a bit of a bad time at this moment. Chris Hardy's got an opportunity there to make up amends from a couple of years ago where they just missed out on the playoffs by about three or four points.
And we've got Andrew Snave coming on shortly from Yorkshire Coast Radio, who is, of course, an independent journalist, and he's in no way, shape, nor form biased towards Whitby Town. Anyway, right, let's talk about... There's only one other result, I think. Yeah, one last result to talk about from Saturday, and that involves another team who aren't completely out of this playoff race, and that's Morpeth Town. A 2-0 win at Stafford Rangers on Saturday. That sees Morpeth in 10th position. They're 7 points from the playoffs. They've got four games in hand over Nantwich Town. We've said it before, there's no point repeating ourselves, James, really, but they've got to squeeze those games in at some, obviously. But if they have a week like Whitby, they can easily get themselves involved, and then they've got momentum, and then it doesn't matter how many games they've got. They've got the wind at the backs.
They have indeed, but the main talking fact is they've got 21 games to play in 8 weeks. So that's if we make it all the way to the integral final, by the way, and into the final of the the Northumberland Senior Cup at this moment, which is still involved at the semi-final stage. It's going to be a tough one to get it fitted in.
Well, there we go. That's all the results from last week. And as I said, Andrew Snaith will be joining us shortly. Yes, everyone at home, it's that time of the year again where we all gather around and go, ooh, who's going to be the NPL show player of the year? James, details, discuss.
So nominations as standard. We opened as of last night at 7 o'clock. Yes. Obviously, we got the concurrent Tunda Yellow Wabi as the reigning champion. Will he be the first player to retain the trophy this year? Who knows? However, three ways to nominate: on Facebook, on the page, and leave a comment. Twitter, by leaving the hashtag NPLSpots20 and your nominations. And on Instagram, by commenting on the post with it there. You can pick up to three players, but you can only have one player per club, and that includes for any club that they've represented this year. There's a lot of players that have been at like three or four or five clubs, so pay more attention to that one. And you've got until the next Sunday, that's the 8th of March at midnight, to cash your nominations.
And just to be clear, it doesn't matter how... This is just the nomination process, not the decision process. So only nominate once. There's no point multiple nominating the same player. It makes no difference. So on one of those platforms, just once is enough for you, James, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. So, and also players and managers cannot nominate.
Well, James, that seems very exciting. And of course, we'll have more details on that on the monthly show, which is back next week, pre-recorded live at the Heating Up. So a big thank you, James, for joining us. And we'll be seeing you next week for the monthly review. Well, big news late this week with regards to Grantham Town. Grantham Town have parted company with their joint managers. But Danny Rackie will be taking charge for Saturday's game against Stalybridge Celtic. And for more on this news coming out of Grantham Town this past week, we should be joined now down the other end of the phone by BBC Radio Lincolnshire's Graham Cowell. And Graham, a big thank you for joining us. And we're recording this bit of the show on Friday lunchtime. Big news coming out of Grantham Town this past week. What's your take on it all?
Well, to be honest with you, Ben, I was a little bit surprised. Given that the board had given the backing to the managerial team at the Gingerbread, and given that we hadn't had a game for the last week and a half, performances had begun to look better. A great point away at Warrington last time out. I thought they were going to stay to the end of the season and see how things went. So to get the news of the resignations late on yesterday was a bit of a surprise, a bit of a shock, I think, to many people at the club. But, you know, the club will move forward as it always does.
And Danny Rackie coming in as well. I'm assuming as a player manager more than anything on an injury basis, especially with regards to this weekend's match against Stalybridge Celtic if it beats the rain. What's your take on that side of things?
Well, on the second one, we never have, or very rarely have any problems beating the rain. At Grantham, the only time we've had problems with rain was when we had an absolute monsoon after about a minute and a half against Stafford many years ago.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
So, game will almost certainly be on against against Stalybridge tomorrow on Saturday. In terms of Danny Racky taking over, it's the senior player scenario. Racky's also brought in to give him some help. Scott Goodwin, who up until a couple of weeks ago was assistant manager at Ilkeston, so there's a bit of coaching and managerial knowledge to support him there. And of course, Scott will be well known to many Gingerbreads fans from his time at the club. One of the many Midlands clubs that Scott played for. I always remember Scott as being an uncompromising fullback. If he brings that into his assistant managerial role, there'll be no hiding from Scott and from Danny. And hopefully, they can get the squad motivated and keep things going, keep things pushing through. Racky, of course, has missed the last couple of games with suspension, and we're looking forward to see what they can do, whether they change things around much. And hopefully they'll be able to keep the improvement in performances going and get at least a point out of Saturday's game.
Yeah, because it's like you touched upon when we were speaking earlier. I mean, it's Grantham Town, they've had some good results this season. I mean, I go back to the opening day of the season, the win against SC United. Mm-hmm. And like you say, there's been draws against Basford and Warrington, and they've got the job done against Stafford Rangers as well. So there is quality in that squad, isn't there, to get themselves out of this predicament they're in?
There is now, yeah, without doubt. Over recent weeks, Paul Rawdon and Russ Cousins, with Adam Smith as assistant manager, have brought in some real quality and given some real depth to the side. Picking up people like Lee Hughes as experience up front, but bringing Ramey Campbell back has given an extra dimension to the Gingerbreads going forward. A couple of midfield signings have improved Declan Dunn as a player. He's picked up an awful lot in recent weeks. The Gingerbreads are looking at a better outfit, better shape to them. Much more width than they had with Curtis Morrison, and they're looking a good side, but they just need to get the confidence of winning a game.
And your general understanding as well, Graham, just about time frames and that kind of thing. We saw Radcliffe that ticked on, and it didn't really work out for Radcliffe having interim management in charge. So what's your understanding about the time frame for permanent successor?
Well, I talked to Sophie Cope, the vice chair, just a very short while ago, and there's already been some interest in the job, as often happens at that level of football. People come out of the woodwork immediately and say, "Yeah, that's a job that I think I'm interested in. I could do something there." There are no plans at the moment to advertise the post. The interest that there has been has piqued the intrigue of the directors. They're going to be talking to some of those people who have already got in touch with the club. Ideally, they'd like to make an appointment by by week Saturday, the trip to Ashton United. It may happen, it may not. If it doesn't, then obviously they'll be trusting Danny Racky and Scott Goodwin to take things forward in the short term. Interim managers, because they're often senior players with no managerial experience, no disrespect to them as senior players, it very rarely works for clubs at our level. They're the kind of players that take it on. Usually they're better managers when they've been working as a coach or as an assistant for a short while before stepping into the managerial shoes.
Well, interesting times ahead at Grantham Town. Graham Cowell from BBC Radio Lincolnshire, big thank you for joining us. Just before you go, just a quick plug for the coverage of the game this weekend, which you heard it here first, everyone. No doubt at all for the match between Grantham Town. I'm jesting. Yeah. But Grantham Town and Stalybridge, do check Twitter before setting off on Saturday. Disclaimer.
Yeah.
Coverage, Graham, where can people follow the club and that kind of thing?
They can follow the club on BBC Radio Lincolnshire. There's live coverage of Lincoln City on a Saturday afternoon, where we have updates throughout the game of the Gingerbreads at home to Stalybridge Celtic. Yeah, it's only raining mildly here in Grantham, so there's no question that we'll be playing at 3 o'clock. Big game for both sides. Obviously, Stalybridge will be after the points to keep their playoff hopes alive. So, yeah, tune in to BBC Radio Lincolnshire, live updates throughout the game.
Now, regular listeners are all excited at this point because you can hear a little echo in my voice. That's because you join us once again in the MPL Show Kitchen. And joining me here down the other end of the phone for this little preview for this weekend's matches, we're joined by the delicious Mr. Andrew Snaith. Hello, Andy, how are you?
Yeah, but I'm fine, thanks. Are you going to pretend that you've been doing some scampi in my honour?
No, I'm going to be open, upfront, transparent, whatever you like to call it. I've just had a takeaway. So there you go. A midweek takeaway. Like, can you believe it? Anyway, let's...
I'll do it for half of this.
Now, let's talk about your good self. Now, Andrew Snaith, you've been coming on the show now for a number of seasons now, and, you know, you're not alone from Whitby Town. We always have Chris Hardy on regular to discuss, you know, the ins and outs of our seasons developing at the Turnbull Ground. And every time you downplay it, you know, you take each game as it comes and all that. I think Andrew Snaith, you invented that line on this show, which all managers now rely upon. Whitby Town, you can't avoid that anymore. You're involved in the playoff race, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it hasn't happened for about 15 years, Ben, so I'm right to downplay it normally. But yeah, we do appear to be inching worryingly close to a playoff battle. It's very encouraging and a little bit disconcerting. But on the back of 5 wins in a row, top of the form tables at the moment, and long may it continue, although obviously there's some very, very tough games to come. I'm sure you've seen Whitby's running. It's pretty like looking through the gaps in your fingers stuff. There's some really tough games to come in the running, but yeah, it's great to be in and around.
Now, we'll cover off this weekend's match for Whitby Town at the end, so you can give a good plug to Yorkshire Coast Radio. But slightly above Whitby Town in league table and geography-wise is South Shields. And South Shields on Saturday will be travelling to Gainsborough Trinity. I mean, if I was to list the difficult aways in this season in particular, going to North Holme, would be on my list of difficult aways. This is a tough test for South Shields.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially as they're having a little bit of a wobble of late. What I would say, though, and I mentioned the form table, if you just make that a little bit longer and you go for the last 10 games, Gainsborough Trinity are topping that. You know, no surprise Curtis Woodhouse has got a new contract with the job that he's done there. This is him, looks like, safely away from the bottom three. And yeah, they will be formidable opponents for South Shields. And I'll also let you off the fact that you said it's slightly above Whitby. It's a good 60 miles above Whitby. But let's not have this old geography discussion again. North, east, north, west. Yeah. But in all seriousness, yes, it'll be a very tough task for South Shields in what's an increasingly cluttered promotion picture at the top there.
Yeah, very much so. 2 points the gap between league leader South Shields and second place Baseford United. Baseford will be travelling to Witton Albion. Difficult to assess Witton Albion. It's difficult to assess anyone at the moment because we had Thomas Feeney on, we've had Matt Carruthers on, and what we've not had in the last couple of weeks or so is a consistent results roundup because the game's being postponed and that kind of thing. But, you know, Witton Albion, before we've had the Storms, they are a tricky side. So this is by no means a gimme. And it might be a bit of a heavy pitch there as well at Winsham Park.
Yeah, absolutely. They are a decent side. They're tough to beat. Especially at Winsham, as you say. So not an easy assignment for Baseford on their travels either over in Cheshire. But Baseford and South Shields fighting it out at the top there. There's 2 points between them. Very similar records, actually, the last few games. So, another big test for the Nottinghamshire side who are absolutely right in that title picture.
Now, 2 points behind Baseford United and sitting 4 points off top spot, we've got FC United. This is game of the weekend, isn't it? FC United hosting Warrington Town. Warrington will have been frustrated by the midweek abandonment, but having seen the pictures, it was no surprise, really. They were 1-0 up. They obviously beat Scarborough last week in another big game. I mean, I suppose it's helpful for Paul Carden that he's had a big game against Scarborough and now he's got an equally big game against FC United. The team talk does itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, FC, they're a lot of people's picks. I might sit a little bit uncomfortably with you, Ben, personally speaking, but they're a lot of people's picks for that title, and I can see why. I haven't seen them this season, and you know, they're a side that play good football. They create chances. They score goals. They're the top scorers in the league by 10 strikes, so they're quite clear. in that respect. They've also it makes for a good goal difference as well. And you know, you wouldn't be absolutely shocked if it went down to goal difference. You know, at the end of the season, we've witnessed a few tight title battles, and you wouldn't be too surprised, would you?
Let's talk about the team currently sitting fourth. That's Lancaster City. They're travelling to Hyde United on Saturday. Hyde United dropped down to 13th in recent weeks. I mean, it's the blink of an eye, really. It was only two or three weeks ago we were talking about Hyde United. Were they outside an outside bet for the playoffs? It's 11 points now in the blink of an eye. Lancaster City very much still involved in the playoffs. They have played two games more than FC Bakersfield and South Shields. They played three games more than Nantwich and Warrington, and they've played five more than Whitby Town. The gap between Whitby and Lancaster, incidentally, is 6 points. So, Lancaster travelling to Hyde.
Yeah, it will be interesting to... I apologise for crowbarring Whitby into the conversation again. It'll be interesting to see how Lancaster react to that midweek game and whether they're able to bounce back. I suppose that's the test of a promotion contender as to how they react to a setback. You're right in mentioning Hyde that there were a few people's picks for being in and around, but they seem to have tailed off now. They've only got 12 games left this season. It just doesn't look like they're going to feature at that business end of the table. It will be interesting to see how Lancaster, if they're able to bounce back. There's obviously a lot of people looking at that and saying, well, is somebody going to drop out? If somebody's going to drop out, it would probably be Lancaster. And then you've mentioned the teams in and around that are looking to replace them. So, I would say the pressure is on Lancaster City at the moment.
Watching on the Hyde United Lancaster City match will be Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town are obviously also going to be looking at that FC United Warrington Town affair as well. Nantwich are taking on Micklehover Sports. Micklehover Sports, one win away from securing Project 40, as John McGrath calls it, and getting to 40 points. Micklehover, an interesting one, aren't they? Because they're 9 points off the playoffs, and they've got two games in hand on Nantwich Town. So a win is back on again for Micklehover. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, they've got games in hand is the key. Micklehover, you certainly don't think they're going to be threatened at the wrong end of the table, but and they also still have big names in that squad as well. They're some very experienced players. If we're going to mention the likes of Staley Bridge and Bamber Bridge still having a chance in the top five, then you've got to mention Micklehover as well. They've still got 16 games left to play, you would have to mention them in the same breath. Nantwich, again, midweek result went against them against FC United, and yes, they'll be looking over those shoulders. Warrington, Whitby, Morpeth, they're in that last playoff position at the moment. The pressure's on them as well.
Now, Scarborough Athletic were also mentioned in our playoff deliberations, not just last week, but the week before and the week before that. And it's still there for them. 4 points outside the playoffs. They have played 32 games, which is one more than Lancaster City. Scarborough Athletic will be hosting Radcliffe, and Lee Fowler has been in charge now at Radcliffe for about 8 weeks. His team hasn't kicked a ball in anger. Because it's at the Flamingoland Stadium, whatever happens, this match is going to be on. So at this point, Andrew, you can mention new management bounce if you like. What do you think for this one?
Radcliffe obviously having all sorts of issues. You wish them well. Scarborough, I mean, they have been in good form before that. They has got them getting a few points here and there, Darren Kelly. But again, you would think that we've only 10 games left. I mean, even if they win every game, that's 74 points. Even then, I mean, in past seasons, that hasn't been necessarily enough to make the top five. But you know, where they're sitting there, they may be just about in that shake-up, but it is arguable that they would have to win every game now.
Currently sitting 10th, we've got Morpeth Town, just up the coast from where you are, just. And we've got Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge currently sitting 11th. Right, Morpeth Town are 7 points from the playoffs. They've got 15 games in hand. Bamber Bridge are currently 8 points from the playoffs. they've played four games more than Nantwich Town. This one is a big game. I know Bamber Bridge are outsiders at the moment for the playoffs, but I saw them last Saturday and they look pretty good, Bamber Bridge, in all honesty, under Jamie Milligan. This is a big game between these two.
Yeah, indeed. I saw him a couple of months back under Milligan. I think it was his first game in charge, actually. I thought they looked really good as well. And I think as long as we've got Alistair Wadakar on form in the middle of the park, there would be a match for anybody, including Morpeth. But yes, you look at Morpeth and you think, well, they're right in that playoff picture. They're to be honest, as a Wick fan, they're a team that I'm concerned about, and we've got to go to Morpeth before the end of the season. So they're a big threat, and I think that they will get into that top five. I mean, they've been scoring goals lately as well, and they've been putting results together. They've won three of the last five. They're a good side, and I think they might well be the team that nudges into that top five.
Down towards the bottom end of the table, two big games. Atherton Coles, firstly, hosting Matlock Town. Atherton Coles dropped into the relegation places at the moment. They played the same number of games as Matlock Town. The gap between the two of them is 3 points. Whilst staying with the Derbyshire theme, Buxton will be hosting Stafford Rangers. A win for Buxton, and given the fact that Atherton Coles and Matlock are going head-to-head, and, you know, Whitby are taking on Ashton United as well, we might as well throw that into the mix. Grantham's form at the moment isn't the best. This, a win for Buxton, and it could look a bit more nicer for Buxton.
Yeah, a little bit more relaxed. And to be fair to them, they've turned things around the last few games. Unbeaten in four, they've just looked a little bit more solid. So I think they do have every chance of picking up a victory there. Stafford, it's difficult to see how they're going to get out of it at the moment. Just 12 games left to play. As you say, there's that 7-point deficit between themselves and Grantham, and who are third bottom and currently won't be going down. So I think it is league dependent, isn't it, Ben? Isn't it dependent on some of the finishes from the teams in that third bottom spot?
Across step three, yes.
Yeah. So at the moment, Grantham third bottom are okay, but obviously it's all dependent on what's happening in the equivalent leagues. It's a big ask for Stafford. I did see them a few weeks back. I thought they were well set up at the back. You know, they're big, big, tall centre half, and the skipper as well. And I can see why he leads very well. But the problem is creating chances and putting them away. And I imagine that without winning five, the confidence will be low. So it's hard to see whether they could get anything at Buxton, but we will see.
I'll tell you what, though, if Atherton Coles get beat and Grantham Town get beat and Stafford Rangers win, Stafford Rangers will be on 22 points, 3 points behind.
They'll be right back in it.
Yeah, 3 points behind Atherton Coles and 4 points behind Grantham Town. So, as you said there, Snaith right back in it. And just before we leave, obviously this is the moment where we give a big plug to Yorkshire Coast Radio. You know, the big fixtures this season have all been on FC Radio, of course. But that's changes this weekend. Whitby Town hosting Ashton United. If results go a certain way, Andrew, you could be in the playoffs come 5 o'clock on Saturday. How could people tune in?
Yeah, well, they could download the Yorkshire Coast Radio app, which is always a good idea, but you can also go to yorkshirecoastradio.com, you select Extra, and you've got the choice of feeds there. You could watch, you could listen to another team certainly further down the coast, or you could click on Whitby, very sensible move, and listen to our game against Ashton United. Just to go back to my mention of form, Ashton are one of the form teams in the league, 3 wins in 5, just 1 defeat in that time. It'll be a tough game. I expect Ashton will be a very tough nut to crack.
And a big thank you to Andrew Snaith for joining us on this week's show. And also a special thanks to Graham Cowell, who joined us earlier from BBC Radio Lincolnshire at BBC Radio Links on Twitter for all those links this weekend for that Grantham Town Stalybridge Celtic match. And we should say, just before we go as well, a big good luck to the departing coaching staff at the South Stephen Stadium, especially Russ Cousins, who's always come on the show and always been great to talk to. So a big all the best to the departing management team at Grantham Town. But that's it for this week's NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. And just one last thing before we go. Don't forget as well to do check social media and the league website before setting off to your game on Saturday. There's a lot of pitch inspections planned on Saturday morning, so keep it on the Northern Premier League Twitter feed for all the latest developments when it comes to football matches this weekend. But that's it for this week's NPL show. I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.